So today I'm reading from Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up from the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Brittany. And we'll jump right in this morning. Can we do that? Yeah. We're starting a new series called Rooted, Transforming Lives, Transforming the World. And to those in here who maybe know a little bit about their Bible, they realize that this passage from Isaiah 61 was quoted by Jesus in Luke 4. And Jesus had just been baptized by John. If you remember, he comes to John to be baptized, and John says, "Don't, I can't baptize you." He goes, "Just permit this to fulfill all righteousness." So he allows it, you know, and John baptizes him. The Spirit of God falls on Jesus. And they said, those around said, they heard from heaven the Father say, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I'm well pleased." And then Jesus, immediately led by the Spirit into the wilderness, is tempted for 40 days. And then it says he comes back. Y'all know he does his business in the wilderness. He comes back and he comes into his hometown and he enters into his synagogue. And he stands up and it says, as was his custom, he goes to the synagogue and they hand him the book of Isaiah. Now, Jesus had the opportunity to really read from anywhere. And he reads from this passage in Isaiah 61. We're going to talk about the mission statement, the metaphor, and the misunderstandings this morning. Father, help us hear what you're saying and receive what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus could have quoted from any scripture. He's in Isaiah 9. Isaiah is full of prophetic utterances about the Messiah. He could have quoted here in Isaiah 9, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light." I'm him, baby. He could have said that. My son plays soccer, and there was a player on his team who wasn't very good. He didn't get a lot of playing time, but every time he got in, no one would think he could do anything, and they kind of leave him alone, and he'd score almost every time. And every time he'd score, he'd run over to the audience thinking, "I'm him! I'm him!" And everybody's like, the guys on his team barely knew him, you know? And here's Jesus. He could have gone here. "I'm this guy. The yoke will be broken. The boot of the trampling warrior will be burned up," right? "For us, a child is born, a son is given, the government shall be on his shoulders. And the increase of this government and peace, there will be no end." He didn't go there. He could have gone to Isaiah 40. "A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley will be lifted up, every mountain brought low. The uneven ground shall become level, the rough places a plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed." He didn't go there. Why does he go here, Isaiah 61? Because I believe this is the mission statement of Jesus' ministry. If you went to Jesus' website, you're like, "What is this ministry about?" Did a little research. You went up to the top and said, "About us." You clicked on that. You would see, hey, leadership, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord God, the Sovereign Lord, God Almighty, His Spirit is on me. The Spirit of God. The This is the ministry of Jesus, empowered and led by the Spirit of God. And what is it? You click on mission statement. Here it is. To bring good news to the afflicted and the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who were bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And what that meant is if you're in debt, your debts get wiped clean. We sang a little bit about that this morning, didn't we? The day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, an oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Here's what Jesus' ministry is about. Here's his mission statement. I'm coming to bring a new day. You're familiar with brokenness. I'm here to bring healing. You're familiar with guilt and shame and getting beat up and put down, and I'm here to rise you up. This is the ministry of Jesus. How many of us have been afflicted and suffering? Jesus wants to come to you in your suffering and says, I've got good news for you. It's not always going to be this way. You're not always going to be like this. I'm going to rise you up. What I love about the ministry of Jesus, it's not just one thing. I don't just come forgive sins, I heal diseases. I set you free. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Have you been brokenhearted before? Are you brokenhearted this morning? We live in the world, amen? In this world, you will have tribulation. It's not always going to go your way. In fact, this particular prophecy given by Isaiah was to a people who had come out of exile into Jerusalem. And God had done miracles, y'all. You understand that God took this little sapling of a vine out of Egypt and planted it into Canaan, and it spread like wildfire. And within a few generations, a king rose, Saul, and then David, and then Solomon, and there was prosperity, there was beauty, there was power, there was peace. And then the people of God turned away from God. And he warned them, don't do it. Don't run away from me. Don't go after other gods. Don't get mixed around with sexual immorality. Stay pure, stay holy. Worship me in true. And they didn't. And he sent prophets and they killed them, and they sent prophets and they killed him. And then God said, I'm going to have to send you into exile. And he took Israel and he sent them into exile. And he says, look, guys, I'm coming. You're going to come back in 70 years. And so don't decrease, increase. You're coming back. And they came back. There was this Babylon took him into exile. Persia rose to power. And then this king of Persia said, you can go home, rebuild your temple, rebuild the walls. And so they come home. They get home. All the walls are gone. This is a miracle that they're even out of Persia. You get this, right? Go back and read your Bible. It's amazing. God does crazy stuff. And he's like, all right, y'all are getting out. We're going through. I'm going to save you, and I'm going to bring you. And they come in, and they look around, and it's nothing but devastation. The walls are down. The gates are gone. The temple's destroyed. And they're like, oh, no. I don't know about you, but I've been walking with Jesus long enough to think, I remember the miracles. I remember, baby, we're getting out of here. And then you get further along, and you look around, and you're like, I was hoping for more. I was hoping all the sin would go. I was hoping I'd just come down here, cry a little bit, say a prayer, repent, believe in Jesus. I know he changed me, but I'm not wholly changed. We've come and say, we bought this gospel. If you come to Jesus, you won't have any problems anymore. How many of us bought that one? 2 years later, we're like, lies. Lie, that's like getting married, boy. You think, my life is going to be great. Honeymoon's over. There he is. Right? Not as advertised. And don't think you messed up. It's like that for everybody. This is my favorite part of marriage counseling. See him? That ain't him. Whatever you look through to see it, that ain't him. You see her? That ain't her. It's just a facade, and it's not her fault. It's yours. You can't see. And him, you can't see. And so, oh, it's wonderful. And then you wake up and breath stank. Right? Y'all got clothes on the floor. You know, can't do what you're supposed to do. I'm behaving right. Mouth running too much. All this stuff, right? And then you forget, oh, I believed this. It's not true. When you come to Jesus, this is what happens. Jesus radically changes who you are. From the inside, you're not who you are used to be. But you've been living the wrong way. How long? Believing the wrong things, created in the wrong habits, and then think, hey, just because he changes your heart and he changes you and wipes away your sin and gives you a new name, that you think everything's going to be perfect. It's not. And this is what Israel's doing. They walk around. They're like, God, you brought us here? This place is a dump. And here's the ministry of Jesus. Yes, but you're a mess too. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make you right. I'm going to get down and I'm going to bind up the brokenhearted. He didn't say I'm going to drop a new heart. He said, I'm going to get down and I'm going to help heal your soul. Not just your sin, but your soul. And I'm going to heal it. And then I'm going to come and I'm going to set you free. I mean, there's freedom in Jesus, y'all. But that means you walked in here with some addictions, some problems, some big T and little T trauma. You got issues. Here's the beauty thing. Beautiful thing is that Jesus will go down into your prison. He's not as scared of your darkness. Let me just encourage you. He ain't scared of you. Well, I'm just really bad. You're worse than you think you are. That's what's crazy. Right? It's, oh, I'm so bad. You're way worse. That's what the Bible says. He had to go to the cross and die for you. If you were just a little dirty, he'd be like, come here, man. I mean, all right, go get him. No, he said, it's so bad, I got to die to make it right. Okay, so you're worse than you think you are. But he's willing to do it. He's willing to die. We talked about the blood. I mean, if you're unfamiliar with Christianity this morning, you're like, dude, they talk a lot about blood. Like, I thought I was going to get some good philosophy, maybe how to live right. Let me help you. None of this makes sense without the blood of Jesus. He died. He had to die for you. And he's not scared. He's worried and concerned, not worried, but you know what I mean? He's concerned about your whole being. You understand? He's come to set the captive free. And some of us, and I say this a lot, but I want you to hear this. You're a prisoner because of your own decisions. And he wants to set you free. Some of you are captive by somebody else's decisions. And he wants to set you free. He don't care why you're bound, why you're in prison, why you're bound up. He wants to set you free. That's the ministry of Jesus. He wants you free. And he'll do the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will turn heaven upside down. Then he'll turn earth upside down so that you might know him and walk in newness of life, a new day. This is the mission statement of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus chose this passage. This is what got me as a young person. Because some days I thought I was really great, right? Right? And then you get around community. And you realize I'm not that great. Or you get married, or you have kids. And then these mirrors come up and you're like, dude, I need some work. But here's the beauty of the ministry of Jesus. God just doesn't want to heal you. That same process of healing and restoration and redemption and forgiveness and the kicking out of guilt and shame, he wants to use that person now to change the world. Did you catch that? I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. They will be called oaks of righteousness. They will rebuild the ancient. Look, see all this mess around you? Get to work. That's the ministry of Jesus. I'm going to change you. And while I'm changing you, you're going to change the world. Not, I'm going to change you. Check. Now you're going to change the world. No, no, no. Transforming lives, transforming the world. We're not saying we're transforming lives. I can't transform a life. That's Jesus' job. By the power of the Spirit sent from the Father. We are transforming this morning. And that leads me to this second point, the metaphor. Right in the middle of Jesus transforming us, to us transforming the world, is this metaphor. They shall be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord so that he may be glorified, or one of the, you could also translate it, a display of his splendor. Why does he do that? We're talking about healing the broken. We're talking about getting you right. Then we're talking about you getting to work. And then right in the middle of this metaphor, right in the middle of this is this metaphor. The fulcrum of this kind of part of the chapter is this. You will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. I think I've got a picture of Elmhurst School. I love this tree. I love it. So this is when you know you're getting old. My father, he's an athlete, played football here at ECU. We grew up like, we're athletes, praise the Lord. You know, we're tough. He raised us that way. But all of a sudden, when he gets older, he cares a lot about plants. I'm like, Dad, what's going on? Well, here's my garden, son. That's my potatoes and my tomatoes, my green beans, my crowder peas. Come over here to my fruit trees. I got my peach trees. I got my date trees. I got my cherry trees. I got my apple trees. I got my pear trees. He's got them all. And honestly, I love going. I love going every summer harvest. I get to go, and he gets to show me, oh, it's been a good year for okra this year. It's been a good year for okra. What are we doing? But just, okay. Well, I knew I was in trouble. We were on vacation. Last year, 2, 3, 4 years ago, I can't remember. Do you remember? We were in Blowing Rock. It's a beautiful area in Blowing Rock, if you've ever been. And they have this place in the center of town. It's like a park. They got trees. And I saw this one tree that wasn't doing too well. And I just pulled up to it. I was like, what am I doing? Look at this tree. And my son kind of pulls up behind me, kind of mocks me, you know. What are we doing, Dad? Well, you see, I don't understand why. He goes, why are we talking about trees? You're so old, you know. I'm like, calm down. I'm concerned about this tree. So this year we were back at Blowing Rock years later. He walks up to that tree and goes like, tree's looking pretty good, Dad. You calm down. I don't know why, but every time I walk by this tree at Elmhurst, I'm like, look at this thing. It's 5 times the size of my house. It's beautiful, right? It's the planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I'm just like, look at this. Now, look at this metaphor. This tree's probably, I don't know, 70, 80 years old. I'm not that good yet. I can't just look, but 85. I just know. But here's this tree. And the metaphor here is actually quoted in Isaiah 60. In the chapter previous to this, and this is what it says. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I might be glorified. That's interesting. And so we see this picture that God goes in to Persia and he lops off a branch and he brings it back into Jerusalem and he sticks it in the ground. When you walk by a branch planted, you don't say, wow, look at that branch. It's got to look like that big old tree. And then you're like, dang, why is that important? Because right here in the middle of God transforming your life and transforming the world is this metaphor of a tree. And here, let me help you this morning. Trees take time. Your transformation is not going to happen today. I'm not saying God can't do something today. I'm not saying God can't do something miraculous today. But your transformation is a lifetime of growth and rooted in God and bearing fruit upward and taking root downward. Putting your roots down, that takes time. And I know we live in this culture, right? And we've created it ourselves. I'm not knocking it. I love technology. I love AI. I love it all. Great. But we got to realize that life doesn't work that way. Trees don't grow overnight. They take years. And here's the metaphor. You got to put your roots down. You've got to be planted. Planted in the house of the Lord, the psalmist says. Have you been uprooted and cut off from sustenance from the world and come into the kingdom of God and put your roots down? That's a miracle. It didn't say you did that. It said God did that. Here's the beauty of righteousness. That's an oak of righteousness. Here's the beauty of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. Galatians said, 2:21, I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, if you could earn this, if you could try real hard, if you could keep the rules, then Christ died for nothing. Christ died for you. And now you receive the gift of one man's death brings righteousness to all of us. And that's why when he plants us in Christ, we get a new identity. We sang about it this morning. A new name. Redeemed. And here's the beauty of Christ's righteousness. He changes who you are in a moment. That's what changes on altars like this and in seats like that and at home in your dorm room when you cry out to God, save me. In a moment, he changes your name. Adopted into a new family. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the free gift of God so that no one can boast. And so here's your theological term. You have been imputed righteousness. God in the great mystery of the cross, we sang about it, the great mystery of the cross, God took the righteousness of Jesus and he put it in you. It's your righteousness now. It's a gift. All you have to do is receive. But here's another theological imparted righteousness is as you walk with Jesus, he changes the way you behave, changes the way you see, he changes the way you live. He doesn't save you and give you a new name to stay in Persia, to stay in Babylon, to live how everybody else is living. He's uprooting you and putting you in Christ so that you'll live in a new way. That takes time. The name changes immediately. The lifestyle follows as you follow Jesus. You have an imputed righteousness that's a gift, and then you have an imparted righteousness that as you walk with Jesus, he changes the way you see, the way you feel, the way you want to live for the rest of your life. This is the metaphor that Isaiah is putting and Jesus is quoting. You will be called oaks of righteousness. You will be called oaks of righteousness. Somebody else will see you and say, that's righteous. You get that? He calls you righteous. No one walked by Abraham and was like, father of many nations. Jesus did. That's the only one that mattered. But now we do, father of many nations. Because what Christ did, what God did, took time, but now we see what he did and we echo that call. What am I saying? That means if we're not growing, something's wrong. If we're not growing, We got to examine the roots. We got to examine the soil. Because God didn't go to the world and snatch you out from the fire to plug you down and to die here. Right? You're transforming. Are you alive? Are you alive this morning? Because living things grow. Doesn't mean they're not pruned. He's coming for fruit. We said this earlier. We're saved by grace through faith. We are his workmanship. He did the work. So that you'll get to work. That was the point. And here's the misunderstandings as we close. Here's the misunderstandings. That God wants to save you for heaven. I'm going to help you. The gates in heaven are doing just good. They're doing great. The walls of heaven, they don't need your help. You will rebuild the ancient cities. The generations of devastation. What is Jesus saying? Here's my ministry. I'm going to save you. I'm going to change who you are. And as you're changing, you're going to engage in this world for my glory. You've got something to do here. And here's the misunderstanding. God wants to save you for heaven. Yeah, of course. But you're still here. And now you've got things to do. And this is the misunderstanding. Oh, I'm saved. That was never the goal. The goal was that Christ would be glorified in your life. And in your death, praise the Lord. All the way to the end. That he would get glory. Now, is that going to take time? It's going to take a long time. But every step of the way, every season, he'll get the glory. Every little bit of growth, every little bit of pruning, every bit of fruitful, he gets the glory. God's got things for you to do. Amen? They will rebuild the ancient ruins, raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. We've got work to do. Amen? God has saved you for good works. Your good works don't save you. I'm going to say it again. Your good works don't save you. Christ saves you. You were born again by his doing. You were cut off and planted by his doing. You were made righteous by his doing. Now that you're in Christ, partner with the Holy Spirit, the Father, and the Son, and let's get to work. Amen? Now, here's the misunderstanding, that once you start working, you're good. And I'm going to reiterate that. No. We believe here that you mature as you minister. But that's not automatic. You don't mature because you minister. You can do lots. How many pastors and leaders have to fall for us to realize just because you're doing ministry doesn't mean you're mature? Because are you growing? Because we're coming back to that. Are you a tree planted by the rivers of water, bearing fruit in season? Are you in process by the Spirit? Because you could do ministry and it looks like you're growing and you'd be dried up. Busy doesn't mean bountiful. Busy doesn't mean fruitful. You can be busy and be bankrupt. In fact, I want to say busyness could be a hurdle to your fruitfulness. Listen to me, college students who love God. College students who love God. The temptation's going to be to be busy everywhere, but you don't put your roots down anywhere. Everybody knows you, but nobody knows you. I'm busy doing Christian ministry, but no one knows my soul, and I'm not growing in God. That's a temptation, amen? Find a community that loves God and is committed to your development and root in. I stumbled in this church as a college sophomore, and I knew there was authentic people here who loved Jesus, not perfect, authentic husbands and wives, authentic fathers and mothers, authentic grandparents, authentic student leaders, and I thought, man, if I stay here, I'm going to grow in God. There were sexier places to go, praise the Lord. I mean, we didn't have this. I mean, we had some good music this morning. Thank you, Beatty and Daniel. It was awesome, right? I remember walking into one of the classrooms and two acoustic guitars. That was it. I was like, okay, I mean, I like acoustic guitar, but. But I knew if I planted here, I'd grow. I have this tree in my backyard as we begin to close. Y'all see this tree? That's an oak tree. All right? I've got three of these. This is the smallest one. It's huge. You see that root that's kind of going perpendicular right here? Look at this. See that? Y'all see that? That's not an oak tree root. I'm just bragging a little bit on my horticultural knowledge. That's actually a gum tree root. That gum tree is not even in my yard. It's like a yard over. And this is what rooted looks like. Other people's roots intertwine to create stability in the grove of the oaks. My question is, who's got their root laying on your root? Who knows you like that? Who knows how you're tempted? Who knows where you're weak? Who understands your vulnerability? It's got to be like this. And this is why trees in my neighborhood, they don't fall like that. I mean, they might break at the top, but they ain't going anywhere. Michelle talked to me about taking these trees. Look, these trees ain't going anywhere. They're like this. They're like lean. I mean, they're like covering the whole house. But all the roots are like this. They're in there together. And then when you take one out, you make the others vulnerable. And so that interconnectivity, that rootedness actually creates the stability that you need to grow. Giant, those of you from California down here, these giant sequoias, you can drive cars through these things, right? They're the largest trees in the world. They're 300 some plus feet in the air. But their roots go three times wider than they are tall. So you got a 365-foot tree, you got 900 feet of root in the other direction. And the biggest of them grow in groves. They're all like this, fighting for the sun, they get higher. And rooted together, they don't fall down. This is the picture of rootedness in God. This is the picture, and this is the ministry and the mission statement of Jesus. I'm going to heal you. You're going to grow. And as you're growing, you're going to exact change in the world. That's why here at GCF, we are transforming lives. Not we are doing the transforming. We are transforming lives. I'm transforming life. Transforming the world around me by the grace of God. The power of the Holy Spirit. This is the ministry of Jesus. Just because Jesus died and rose again and sits at the Father, his ministry is still moving. The mission statement hadn't stopped. It's still exacting change. Amen. I want to close by inviting someone. We've been talking about this. Chandler, you can come on forward. We've been starting a cohort. So I know you heard a little bit about our growth track. A part of that growth track, after Disciple Step and Victory Weekend, is something that we've implemented last semester, a beta group called a discipleship cohort. There was a group of about 9-10 of us, and we were committed to meet every week and challenge each other with the word. And Chandler was a part of that, and I was going to get him to share a little bit about how that experience was. This is the power of what God wants to do in community.
I'm Chandler, and we meet every Tuesday, and this group basically challenged me to go out and make disciples, you know, like it calls us to in the Bible. And it challenged me to be more talkative and honest about myself with the group, which, as you can tell, I'm not very good at public speaking. challenged me to dive deeper into my relationship with God, you know, because you have to get up early, go to the group, you know, commit, and helped me understand that there's other people going through the same things as me, and helped me learn more about a practical way to be on mission for God in my everyday life. And then one thing that I was lacking was community of believers, like in person, you know, just having like a community of believers. And then, so the group was a perfect way for me to get that community of people to be there for me, to challenge me in my relationship with God, and then just be there for me with anything I needed, like as a regular person, you know. And so, yeah, that's what really helped me. And I just encourage you, if you're ready to take the next step to just become that leader to help make disciples, I would encourage you to do this group. So, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chandler. What is this discipleship cohort that we're doing? I've had a couple of people, what is this? I thought I explained it, but I'm going to explain it again. Praise the Lord. Pulled up my. Here it is. The discipleship cohort is a semester-long intensive. So this is not for everybody. If you're new here and you're just getting started in your faith, we've got some entry steps first, right? What does it mean to be a disciple? Are you in a life group? Those things are important. Let's do those first. But if you've kind of hit those steps, this is what a discipleship cohort is. A semester-long intensive designed to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus, become more like Jesus, by creating a missional community around following Jesus together. It's a lot, so I'm going to say it again. A semester-long intensive designed to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus, become more like Jesus by creating a missional community around following Jesus together. And that's our hope. That we have classes that are awesome. If you haven't done them, get in one of the discipleship classes in our growth track. But what happens is it takes a long form, long period of time to implement new habits and patterns. You don't just get that in a class. You learn knowledge in a class. You learn habits and patterns and rhythms over time. And so that's what we're doing with the cohort, okay? So if you've finished the entry-level classes with our growth track, if you haven't jumped in any classes, jump in a couple weeks when we start on disciple step. If you've done that and you're like, I want to go deeper, sign up for our cohort on the app. And this will be guys and girls. We'll have groups within groups. And we'll do this from September the 7th through December 14th, semester long. Okay? Pray about that. Now, here's my questions to us this morning. Why don't we stand as we close? Y'all know I'm like serious about closing. But I'm not exactly closing, okay? Here's my question. Have you allowed God to plant you into his family? Has he come up and tried to transplant you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and you kept slapping his hand? I want to stay where I'm at. Have you allowed God to move you into his kingdom? That's a decision by faith. Amen? Second question is, are you transforming? Are you growing? Are there new life coming out of you? And if it's not, we probably need to examine, how's my spiritual life? I probably need to get in the growth track or get in a life group or get around some other believers to push me forward. Amen? Are you actively involved in seeing what God wants to do through you? God wants to do something through you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for every individual in this place. Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that rests on Jesus would rest in this place. And Lord, if there's something said this morning that an individual needed to hear, I pray right now you'd highlight it and you'd put pressure on their heart. That you draw them to yourself because you love them. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning saying, Blake, I'm not right with God, but I want to be right. I want to pray for you this morning. Raise your hand so I can pray for you. Raise it high. Amen. 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 You can put your hands down. If you raise your hand this morning, I want to pray for you right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask that those who raised their hand this morning would make a commitment to follow you. Jesus said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then he said, follow me. The goal wasn't your conversion. The goal was your relationship with God. Follow me with your life, and I'll meet you right where you are. For those of us in this room who are saying, Blake, I know I'm right with God, but I am not growing, and I want to make a commitment this morning to do whatever it takes to grow in God. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Amen. All over this room. Father, I pray for those raising their hand, Lord, that they would get in your word. Hear your voice through the scriptures. Find community who will love them, encourage them, and challenge them. And make a commitment today with a simple prayer. Jesus, I want to follow you and grow. Forgive me for prioritizing other things more than you. Forgive me, Father. Heal me. Fill me with your spirit. And finally, Lord, I just pray over every soul in this room that your spirit would fall on them. We can't do anything in the world of our own doing. We need the Spirit of God. Fill us afresh. Awaken our souls. Heal what's broken. As we follow you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we give the Lord a hand this morning? Thank you for being with us this morning. If you need prayer, we've got our altar team down here. We'd love to pray for you. If you're a student and you're a first time, maybe last week was your first time, we'll give an exception. Last week was first time, and this week is your first time, then we have a gift for you out in the foyer. Find our ENC table and our youth table. We'd love to honor you with a gift. You guys have an amazing day. And don't forget to sign up on the app if you want to be a part of one of those classes. We'll see you next Sunday.